Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So next Thursday, it's a very special day. And even though as we look around, we see that as a country, we're divided over a lot of different things, there's one thing that will unite us all on Thursday. Turkey. And not just turkey. Stuffing. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Gonna tear up a little bit. Green bean casserole, cranberry sauce, pecan pie, pumpkin pie, you name it. And on that day, most of us in America will sit down with our family and some friends and give thanks to God for his bounty and dig in for a huge feast. And then the regret. Because what's going to come of all that? Well, if you're like me, overeating is in your future. And a little bit too much turkey, a little too many helpings of mashed potatoes, and, you know, justifying that extra piece of caramel apple cheesecake or pumpkin pie because, you know, Thanksgiving comes but once a year. And the result of all that overindulgence will be a loosening of the belt buckle or a donning of the sweatpants and a nap in front of a football game. And so, you might say that Thanksgiving, at least for a lot of us in this country, is all about the food and lots of it. Well, that's really not much different than the other 364 days that we live on this earth. As Americans, unlike the rest of the country, the rest of the world, or much of the world that suffers under burdens of famine, we have the burden of feast. And so food is a bit of an obsession in our culture, and not always a healthy one. And unlike the home-cooked meal that we're all waiting to enjoy in a few days, we have become a fast-food, prepackaged society. The satisfaction of the meal is based more on its quantity than its quality. It's estimated today that the average family eats approximately 40% of their meals out, and that makes it very difficult for us to make wise nutritional choices. We're constantly on the run, shoving McDonald's in our mouths, dessert in our pockets, and washing it down with a Coke and a Lipitor, or if you're like my dad, an extra half of a Lipitor to justify that prime rib. But we are literally paying the price and killing ourselves by what we put into our bodies. Now, this stark reality was made about 14 years ago, and some of you may have heard this title of this film called Supersize Me. The director, his name was Morgan Spurlock, he made a documentary about himself seeking to prove what would happen if he ate McDonald's every day for a month. He had only four rules. One, he had to supersize his meal if he was asked. Two, he could only eat food from McDonald's. If they didn't sell it, he couldn't eat it. Three, he had to eat everything on the menu over the course of the month. Four, he had to eat three meals a day at McDonald's. To monitor his health, he obtained three doctors, a dietitian, and an exercise physiologist, all of whom confirmed that he was a model of health for a man his age at the beginning of the experiment. Now, many of you already know, and those of you who don't know could probably predict where that experiment headed. This is what he had to say about the results in an interview after the movie had been made. I would get these incredible headaches that would go away once I started eating fast food again. My cholesterol skyrocketed. My blood pressure went up. I gained 24.5 pounds in 1 month. And my liver was basically filling with fat to the point that my doctors said it was like a goose pate. Toward the end, one doctor was very adamant that I stopped, and he was really upset that I didn't. And all of that was just the product of 30 days of feasting on the high-fat, supersized junk that we all consume on a regular basis. There are any numbers of cliches that we could apply at this point to what had physically happened to Morgan. We've heard them before, like, you are what you eat, garbage in, garbage out. Are any of us really surprised that you can't eat McDonald's every day, three meals a day, and not suffer health consequences? Now, I'm not telling you this so because I need you to practice what I preach and not what I do, especially if you're sitting with the table at me with me on Thursday. It's to allow you to ponder for a moment what I said before. You are what you eat. And we are totally aware of this physically. The mirror doesn't lie. The blood test doesn't lie. The admonishments from our doctors don't lie. The checkups and assessments don't lie. They tell the story of our physical condition based on how we treat our bodies and what we put into them. But there's something else, something even more important and more critical than our bodies, our souls. Because we're not just physical beings. We are not just a mass of cells driven by primitive needs and drives. We are created in the image of God. We are body and soul, joined together as one, each part coming together to make a whole. Each one in need of proper nourishment if it's to be strong and healthy. And in our physical bodies, that nourishment comes through the mouth and is digested through the stomach. It's food. But for the soul, our nourishment comes through our eyes and through our ears and is digested by our minds and our hearts. And just like the body, the health of our souls is affected by what it's fed. So this begs the question, what is on the menu for our souls? It's becoming increasingly difficult to make wise decisions for our souls. Consider what's on TV, what's in the Twitter sphere, the advertisements that are constantly bombarding us. What messages do they send? Are we filling our minds with the kind of nourishments that our souls need to be healthy? Or have we put ourselves on a steady diet of junk food? You know, we seem to be more than willing to sit down for a two-hour movie and feast on all the alternative rights and wrongs, moral and ethical values of the world, or binge watch stuff that is unhealthy for us. But we can't seem to take the extra 15 minutes or extra time every day for a little bit of Bible study, time for study and prayer. What's more, we've even fooled ourselves into believing that we can handle it. It won't affect me. We say, and all the while we become more and more desensitized to the junk that pours into our ears, into our eyes. And what about our children, the next generation? Parents, don't forget that feeding your children, that you're not just feeding your children what you put on the table. You feed them with the things that you let them watch. You feed them with the things that you let them hear. The greatest challenge that we have around our house is that even if we can't find anything worth watching, I can't let our kids even watch the commercials. Sex and violence are the bait to make our mouths water for the junk that they want to feed us. So sometimes we just have to say no. Sometimes we have to turn it off. I know you feel the pressure. Well, everyone lets their kids do it. At least that's what my kids say. All of my friends are doing it. So why can't I have this or have that or watch this or watch that? But I encourage you, do not cave in. It may not make you popular. It might not earn you the best Father of the Year card, but you will be right. And if we don't take control of what we and our kids are consuming, we put them and us at risk of soul disease. Can we really expect our children to be strong and healthy spiritually if we don't limit the junk food that's so readily available? So, what is the remedy for all this? Well, for as much time and effort and money as goes into marketing what is sold at McDonald's, a huge amount also goes into marketing the fix that is supposed to make those bad health consequences go away. Take this pill. Lose weight while you sleep. Have this procedure. Assign points to your food. All of that is supposed to counter the effects that our bad decisions and bad nutrition have made over time. But in the end, we all know that the real fix is to just change our diets. And what's true for the body is true for the soul. Take the Apostle Paul to be our soul dietitian. To a soul-sick world, he lays out a menu, a Thanksgiving feast of those things guaranteed to keep us strong and healthy. In Philippians 4:8, he writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And our diet begins by ruminating on the truth. Whatever is true, he says, think about these things. But what is truth? This is the same question that Pontius Pilate asked of Jesus, not understanding that the truth was staring him straight in the face. Jesus is the truth. He is all things true. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And as we stare Jesus in the face, gazing on that truth come down from heaven, we see ourselves in the reflection of his eyes. We see God's heart broken for you. To our sin-sick souls, Jesus has come to bring life and forgiveness by his death on the cross. He is the remedy for all of our bad choices, not that extra piece of pumpkin pie, but for our sins, all of the failures, the pain of life. His blood covers a multitude of our sin and frees us from the shackles of death. Praise be to God that there is a remedy for this soul disease, and his name is Jesus. Truly, our lifetime isn't long enough to ponder the fullness of what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross. But as we feed ourselves daily on the truth of Jesus, we come to know what is honorable and just and what is pure and lovely and commendable, what is excellent and worthy of praise. Because Jesus, the Word made flesh, is food for our souls. Now, there is, of course, a spiritual benefit that comes from eating and drinking, not just reading and listening. There's a time when feeding our souls actually comes through material means. It's the meal that we are about to receive, the meal we call the Lord's Supper. Today, we are going to receive the mystery of the real presence, spiritual nourishment that comes to us in our mouths. When we feel the bread in our teeth and the wine on our tongues, we are actually tasting salvation and ingesting the forgiveness of sins. Friends, that is soul food, the kind that sustains and nourishes us, body and soul, in the one true faith, unto life everlasting. Amen.